The next case that deals somewhat with future damages is Railroad Company versus Barron. And it demonstrates the challenges of that reasonable certainty test. So if you look at this case, it is a wrongful death train case. Most of the old cases are train or boat cases. And there was a big problem for the plaintiff in this case is that his son died and the father was the plaintiff. So back then, how are you going to show that you suffered a loss, some kind of pecuniary loss, when your son died, because it's not certain that you're going to inherit anything from your son? And another problem with this case was that the son was actually going from being a judge back to private practice, so there was no evidence that his son's business would even be successful. So faced with that, the plaintiff in this case filed under a wrongful death statute that put himself in the shoes of the estate. And that's basically why these statutes exist today, because the reasonable certainty standard was so harsh, right? You had to be reasonably certain. So the Supreme Court says, yes, that's good. You can use this other statute. So it gives the importance of picking the right claim that you're going to make if you got a future damages issue that you can't really prove. And that still exists today. We still have these statutes. And next is the City of Panama case. A woman was disabled for life, so she did have future damages. And this is a very important case because it reiterates Barron and it reiterates the Curtis Rochester case. So federal law still follows the reasonable certainty test. To prevail, you must prove future damages by preponderance of the evidence and provide a reasonable estimate for future damages. So any of you involved in litigation work knows what this means. This means you got to have some kind of estimator, some kind of expert show up to court and give a future damages model. Now, Texas law is very different. Texas law, we have the reasonable probability test, and it came from the Harriet case. This is the Gulf Colorado in Santa Fe railway case from 1891. And the wildest thing about doing research on this topic is that this is pretty much still good law. So backstory of this is there's a dispute over whether or not a case was even settled. There's all sorts of issues. Again, it's another railroad case. But the long and the short of it is the defendant appealed the jury award on basically every single ground they could think of, and the court even notes it. And so there really wasn't a reasonable probability standard until somebody got a little too overeager on appeals, and the judge said, hey, we've already cracked the book open on this, let's talk about it. And basically the judge at that time said, we don't like the term certainty because that gives off reasonable, like an absence of reasonable doubt. We think probability is greater. And so if you go under the hood a little bit for federal law and Texas law, they are both preponderance of the evidence standards. At the end of the day, they both are. What's the difference? The difference is a philosophical approach to these different standards. Texas uses probability, and federal court uses certainty. And how that's actually played out in the past 120 years or so is that in federal law, you basically will need an expert for every element of damages if it's contested, and in Texas law, maybe you don't. So let's talk about some of those. Going through this history again, the Galveston case is important because it said that not only does the evidence follow this reasonable probability standard, what your experts say in court must also follow this. So anyone who's done Daubert motions would not be surprised by this, but basically your expert can't go out there and say a bunch of mere possibility stuff. Like in that case, it was whether or not someone would get epilepsy in the future from falling off a bridge. Okay, there's no way to prove that, probably not even today. So court wouldn't let it go. The next case is the Fisher case, which the Texas Supreme Court actually states that future damages at best involves elements of uncertainty that juries are limited to the bounds of reasonable probability and cannot wander into the realms of mere possibility. So what's good about this case is that it acknowledges that there is uncertainty in future damages, and it upheld an 1891 decision, and it's pretty much still the same now. So going back to this Texas law issue is, do you need an expert? And one good case on that is present day value of future damages. If you've ever worked on a large case where there's a lot of damages being claimed, one thing you might do is encounter an economist hired typically by the defense to say what the present day value of money is. Why is that important? Well, if you're on the defense side, you want to let the jury be aware that inflation happens, right? Right now we're going through a huge inflation spike. And also, you also want to talk to the jury about, if money is properly invested, what will the return be in the future? In other words, if you give a million to a plaintiff today, can it be 3 million later? So in federal court, you will probably need somebody to explain this to the jury. In Texas, you don't. The defendant can hire that expert. You can cross them on that topic. You don't need to hire an expert for that. Strahan versus Davis is a Waco case.